Ohio does not fit as a single discrete whole in terms of cultural areas. As leader for a local community team, that's where it creates issues for me, because we have a variety of cultures. We have a variety of needs. How do you meet that? I look out today. A lot of folks couldn't be here from our own community today. So if you're here, you're from the community, I thank you. If you're not here from the community and you're here to learn more about Ubuntu, I especially thank you. Ohio is a land where you'll trip over the various public and private institutions of higher learning that are scattered throughout the state. As has often been said, first and foremost, our state flower is the orange construction barrel. And second, you'll trip over a college somewhere. Akron is home to the University of Akron. Butler County is home to Miami University of Ohio. Cleveland is home to institutions like Cuyahoga Community College, Cleveland State University, Case Western Reserve University, Cleveland Institute of Art, Cleveland Institute of Music, and renowned teaching hospitals. When a Saudi prince gets sick, they're going to the Cleveland Clinic. They're not going to any hospital in the region. They have an entire floor that is bought and paid for in Cleveland, Ohio. Dayton is home to Wright State University and the private University of Dayton. Lima has University of Northwestern Ohio, James A. Rhodes State College, and the Lima campus of the Ohio State University. Columbus is home not only to the Governor and General Assembly, and also where we are right now, but also to the Ohio State University, Columbus State Community College, Ohio Dominican University, and Capital University Law School. In the southeastern corner of our state, you see communities with names like Washington Courthouse, Zanesville, and find academic institutions like Hawking Technical College and Ohio University. The Ohio Department of Job and Family Services notes that retail salespersons, cashiers, registered nurses, waiters and waitresses, laborers, office clerks, and fast food workers are the sorts of positions that will see the most openings in this very state looking toward 2020. What's missing from that? Positions that require IT. Doesn't take much training to be able to tap in a menu at a menu board in a McDonald's. Does take some training in a registered nurse setting. We are a dying breed here, at least the way current trend lines are running. Previously, our logo had strong student participation. This was good, but it led to the point of students moving on to other lands after they finished their time here in Ohio. IT employment is not as strong in this state as it might be elsewhere. IT employment throughout 2013 has shown consistent job losses month over month. As you can see on screen, this is the map for July 2013. The map for August is not available yet. We have a wide range of employment scenarios across the state relative to July's numbers. Ohio has 88 counties. Counties shown in green are above the U.S. average for July, while counties in purple are hurting because they have unemployment rates in excess of 10%. As an average, Ohio is doing better than the national average. Breaking it down to a county-by-county view shows that even Cuyahoga County, home to Cleveland in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, is not in good shape, even though it is the state's most populated county. And just by state of reference, the light blue spot up there, Cleveland. Over 1 million of Ohio's 11 million residents live in Cuyahoga County alone. Franklin County, the second most populated county with over 1 million residents, and also where we are sitting and standing right now, has fairly low unemployment, which is not bad, considering it is state capital. Hamilton County, home to Cincinnati, has 820,000 people and is only barely below the national average on unemployment. As you can see from this map, our population centers, Cleveland, in that area, it's known for our being our biotech alley. Government, higher ed, is where we are in Franklin County. Cincinnati, Granted, it recently gained the distinction of corrupt Republican politicians with the Taft gang, but it's also on the Ohio River. It's a transportation hub. It also has higher ed. You have a definite swing in terms of the economic basis of the state. I've already had to say goodbye to a bunch of members who've had to move on. Some have taken jobs with Amazon. Some have taken jobs in Colorado. And there's nothing wrong with that. I do bid them farewell. When it comes down to the state of Ohio and a bunch of Ohio, our goal here is do what we can to support you. Do what we can to help you develop. And when we can't do that anymore and you have to move on, happy trails, fair winds, and calm seas, wherever you wind up. There are challenges facing the state overall. We have a gubernatorial election coming up next year. We have tax policies that are being hotly debated. Things are changing, and not necessarily everything is within our control. Ohio is a great state to invest in. But without some regulatory burdens being lifted, it is hard to stay in business here. As we have seen job cuts, and one need merely look at dailyjobcuts.com to see who's next. And that's where we stand. A bunch of Ohio isn't the same as it was 2 years ago when we were last here. Neither is a bunch of, and neither are the flavors. Everything changes. Coming up in today's UbuCon, you're going to hear about many things. The show truly starts with John Buck, a member of Ubuntu, Ohio, who will be speaking to you about the simple question, why? Why Ubuntu? Why choose Ubuntu? You look at DistroWatch. DistroWatch.com shows tons and tons of distributions. What makes Ubuntu special? Others will join us to speak throughout the day on a variety of topics. I know I'm especially looking forward to the BIOS UEFI topic, because that is one of the biggest issues in building computers. And as Matthew Garrett has pointed out in many of his talks, the easiest way to kill a computer, especially if the BIOS is built badly. From noon until 1 p.m. today, there will be a lunch break. There are various commissary facilities. You hang a right, hang another right, take the escalator, and you'll be able to find them. After 1 o'clock, we're going to have a great presentation by Emma Marshall, and I hope you all be ready for that. I will be offering closing remarks at 4 p.m. to end our day together before we head off to all hear John Maddock Hall, our Friday keynote speaker. Now, that's a lot to unpack. Granted, we've been away, but now we're back. Are there any comments or questions as we begin UbuCon 2013 this morning? All right, and looking at Mr. Time Clock here.
I have a couple questions for you.
Go ahead, Mr. Buxton.
With becoming a Ubuntu member,
yep.
Obviously, some level of participation is required.
Yep.
But because, and correct me if I'm wrong with my understanding, everyone becomes a Ubuntu member or gains their membership because of works geared towards certain areas, whether it's towards the community or towards development or for, you know, advertisement or documentation, all different types of things.
Yep.
How does necessarily some of that effort get, or that participation get scaled or rated or graded?
Well, that comes down to the membership boards themselves.
Okay.
You have to self-document. What have you done for whatever period you're talking about? Especially when I applied, and I pretty much kept that hidden from everyone in Ubuntu, Ohio when I did it. And I didn't tell anyone to go like, okay, I'm applying. It's great. Now, I'm not a developer, I can't code. I'm trying to learn Perl, and I'm not a very good self-teacher. I don't do much on IRC. I have a bouncer, but I'm not really there that much. I drive all over Ashtabula County, 700 square miles. It takes you half an hour to get out of there. Forums, I'm not there that much. Edubuntu, I'm not in education anymore. Used to be. Kubuntu, I don't do KDE. So I took the general path, Ubuntu members, which covers everything. And with that, I ended up creating a wiki profile. And it ended up discussing, well, what have I done? And you just outline different instances. Well, what have you done? What have you written? What have you produced? Have you created a podcast? Have you operated a podcast? Have you helped present something and organize UbuCon at Ohio Linux Fest? Will you put that down? Have you taken pictures? Do you help do that? You end up gathering a portfolio that tells the membership board, ha, this is who I am. In my case, it has a lot. And you also end up seeing me as the ARM guy, where at the time, we still had some support for ARM boards, such as the Beagle board, that was active. And I was the go-to guy within Ohio, that if you wanted to venture into the land of ARM, I could help you with that, or at least share with you my experiences. ARM's been kind of thrown under the bus with the push towards MIR at the moment. So I'm running Debian testing on my BeagleBoard at the moment, because that's what's supported. But you end up documenting. What have you done? What have you done to move a community forward, in your view? It's the membership board, however it's constituted at that time slot, that takes a look and says, okay, we think this has been good. Or they come back and say, we've taken a look at the profile portfolio you've given us, and we think that what you've done is great, but we would like to see a little bit more effort or development on your part in these areas, and they will give you suggestions. Like perhaps, maybe you should work with this team a little bit more closely. Maybe you should work in marketing more. Maybe you should ask your local leader for some mentorship, which has been an open offer this development cycle in Ubuntu, Ohio that no one's taken, that I would gladly work with anybody who wanted that to happen. But that's how it works out. It's you first declare, ha, this is me. This is what I've done. What do you think? And that gets the ball rolling. How's that sound, John?
That answered my questions.
Yeah. And it's not just a single route. Ubuntu members is basically the most general purpose route of all. If your service is primarily to the realm of KDE things, and you work within Kubuntu, they have a process. Edubuntu has a process. There's a whole 9 members in that group. So that's a very elect group. You can get in there. Forums has a group. IRC has a group. Developers has a group. That also has other privileges that comes with it. The biggest group is Ubuntu members, though. There's 531 people specifically in that group alone, which once you add it all up together, it still comes under 800 on the planet. Against US Teams project, for those people who actually have loco affiliation, within the United States, there's only 100 people. So across the entire United States, there's only 100 people, and not every state has an Ubuntu member in it. Ohio's lucky, we have Ubuntu members. Some states don't. Which, with the new procedures for seeking financial assistance from Canonical, will get interesting if they have a logo, because without an Ubuntu member in charge, they cannot seek help of any sort, because an Ubuntu member must sign off on that now. A logo leader alone can't do that. Which is also why, if you're here tomorrow, I can't give you a disc, but I can talk to you about Ubuntu. I can talk to you about the flavors. I can definitely talk to you about Zubuntu. I'm a happy documentationalist for that. And I can't give you a disc. That's more due to our terms and conditions with the event. So, what else? Pick my brain. We're early into the event, and I would hate to end up pulling 20 questions, let alone karaoke. All right.
One general question. You sort of touched on like a couple of recent changes or developments with Ubuntu. I'm like very new to Ubuntu in general because I just found out about it this summer.
Okay.
But I remember seeing all kinds of gloom and doom headlines everywhere. Can I gather that generally due to some of the changes you mentioned that some people are unhappy? Or are those the only changes that have made people unhappy?
That would be a fair assessment. What that comes down to in the end is change management. And that's been brought up at the Virtual Ubuntu Developer Summits. I have been very loud about that and have made the point to Rick Spencer at Canonical and others that more attention needs to be paid to change management to soften the blow of proposing and making changes, because suddenness in making changes creates a lot of dislocation. Between the launch of the Mirror Graphics Server project and a few things related to the Ubuntu Touch project for creating eventually a smartphone, some folks got a little out of joint with that because, again, there was a lack of change management. You wake up one day and go like, whoa, what happened? Where did this come from? There was nothing gradual. It was just you wake up one morning and there's a mailing list message. But that's been expressed as an issue at about the highest level possible within Canonical, that there needs to be something done with this to at least slow it down a little, think about it. You can still disrupt, even if you have to take a little more than an hour to do it, even if you have to slow the pace just a little bit. And for example, with the Ubuntu Edge project, I may be the leader of Ubuntu Ohio. I had no advance warning that it was even being announced. And during the local leaders discussion on our end, my French counterpart and a few others were also concerned about that. And we raised the issue, and it's the inevitable tug between the business interests of Canonical and keeping the user community in the loop too. You know, when do you leverage a business interest first?
I'm going to be touching on some of this a little bit in my talk next, but I don't want to start jumping into my talk too much.
But I know, John.
Yeah, I do want to let you know, I'll get into some of the details.
Yeah, basically from the
changes.
From the loco side, people have a hard time with change. I've seen that throughout the projects. Biggest one was with the introduction of XMIR, which is the new graphics server. You have Ubuntu, the main line, which is the main project. You also have the community flavors, like Kubuntu, which is KDE-based, which is a particular desktop environment, Lubuntu, which is based in the LXDE lightweight desktop environment, and Zubuntu, which is based on XFCE. Lots of acronyms I'm throwing out today. I can just say cult of the mouse for that. And hello. Yeah. But the way it comes down to it from that is Kubuntu and Lubuntu made an early decision and said, nope, it's new technology, we're not changing. We don't like this. We don't like change. We're not doing it. We're staying put. Okay? Mainline Ubuntu said, okay, we're changing. This is happening. Sudden decision. We're going to do it. Zubuntu took the middle road, and it was an Ubuntu member here in the Ohio Loco who spearheaded an effort to do testing with our users to see what works better. We run them side by side, the current graphics server and the new one. And it was someone from the Mansfield area that did that. Like I said, Ohio's changed a lot, but for everyone we have here, we lead. May not be a lot of us. We take the initiative and we lead. And that user just goes by the name Unit 193, but we led testing. We saw testing happen. Zubuntu came to a decision that said, for the October release, not at this time. Don't think it's ready enough. This doesn't preclude looking at it later, but not at this time. We don't think it's ready. Which still had people in a panic because it's change, and every little decision people panic about, especially if English is not your first language, because this is a global project. And our major language that we conduct business in is English. But that's one big example there. I do note also among leadership, if people have ever heard of Ask Ubuntu, which we will have a presentation from George Castro about later today once he gets here from Michigan. James Gifford, one of the leading persons behind it. Yeah, he's an Ubuntu member. And he's one of ours. Ask Ubuntu, Ohio born. Started with us. Started from someone here. So there may not be a lot of us, but we do a lot. But to get back to your big thing, that's an example of a big change, a lot of different reaction, but since there's so many different flavors of Ubuntu, everyone reacted differently. And since 2011, once we were last here, the membership has diverged a little. We used to have a lot of folks who were on mainline Ubuntu. I was the odd guy out with Zubuntu, but we've spread out a little since then. We've been using the different flavors and we've been experimenting. The other flavors I haven't mentioned are a little bit more specialist, such as Mythbuntu, which is for building a media server, Edubuntu, which is for educational settings, and Ubuntu Kylin, which is a joint project between Canonical and the People's Republic of China to build a version specifically customized for use in the PRC. So there's a lot going on there. Yes.
You said you can't distribute disk, which is baffling to me because, I mean, despite the proprietary blobs in parts of Ubuntu, my impression was Ubuntu is free software. If they're telling you,
it's the event.
The event won't let us distribute the disks.
That's crazy.
We can get the disks to distribute, but they won't let us give them out. Part of the agreement for having us here, they put restrictions on us and what we can do, what we can't do.
The contract term works out. If I generated the disks, I'd be fine. If Ubuntu Ohio generated them, I'd be fine. If they came from Canonical, I didn't make them.
It's not, we're no longer a community booth, we're a corporate booth. And so we'd be a corporate standing opposed to the community.
Yeah, yeah. It's a weird thing with contract terms that I had to read and deal with.
We can distribute this to people. Somebody wants this, they can contact us. We'll send it to them, just that the event organizers here will not let us distribute them here at the event.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were a few things that made this almost not happen, but we are here. We are here and we are making this happen. A couple of things I almost forgot to mention, especially as we've had other folks show up. If you're looking to join the Ohio Loco, Ubuntu Ohio itself, one requirement that carried over from my predecessors and it's being enforced as of these days, you have to sign the Ubuntu Code of Conduct. And we have people who are sitting in the pending section who I've sent emails and said, this is how you sign the Ubuntu Code of Conduct. Here are resources. Here are ways to do it. There will be a signing assistant that will be landing in Saucy Salamander this October. It got into the archive very late, but it will be there. But everyone who's in a bunch of Ohio now has to sign the code of conduct because so many things within the community are requiring it. And since it was a requirement that was left on our website but never truly enforced, it's being done now so that we have things taken care of and so that everyone can participate fully in the project. And I know that caused a bit of bother, but things happen. Yes?
Graphics thing was the thing we had the problem with that crashed. And
oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll leave that for John.
Oh, John's going to talk now?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But beyond that, again, this is the opening to BubuCon. Feel free to come in. There are no cheap seats. Front row is great. There are no cheap seats in this house. And I could be as bad as a faculty member as I used to be and say, please move forward, but we won't go that far. But in the end, yeah, there's been a lot of change. 2 years. In 2011, when we were last here, had anyone heard about an Ubuntu phone project? No. Now, we're looking at the software being ready to drop in October. I haven't heard from Canonical if there's an original equipment manufacturer lined up yet for a phone. And that's not anything that's been communicated to me. If we do get that, I'm probably going to be one of the folks buying a phone quickly, because it will live and it will be stable. But you also see a lot of change happening. So, since it's an early start, we started at 9 a.m. this morning, and we still have time. I'm going to say this. It's 9:35. Mr. John Buckley starts at 10 a.m. with our lovely presentation, Why Ubuntu? So, as there are no further questions, I strongly suggest get some coffee. Coffee is good. Take a break. We'll be back at 10 o'clock for another presentation. Walk around. Avoid deep vein thrombosis. Wake up. We'll see you all in 25 minutes. All right? See you shortly.